This episode of The A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
It's all I've been living and breathing. Even my wife, she's like, can you just win these buys so you can stop fucking going to these tournaments already? I'm like, I'm sorry.
She's like,
I'm trying so hard.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com and the MTGCast.com network.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
Sorry, Jay just agreed with Medina. My head exploded.
Jay Boosh.
Is this what it's like to be a brewer? Because that was exciting.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. I take it all back.
Scotty.
I would really like you to, like, come clean. You just mulligan to land elf sword every single game.
And Medina.
So anyways, I had to leave, obviously, because I'm just not going to sit here and watch chicks get naked when there's training to be done.
And now, the A-Team.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 104 of the A-Team Podcast. This is KYT once again with Jay Boosh, Mr. Scotty Mack, and Jonathan Medina. How's it going, boys?
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop,
what's going on?
Woo!
Woo!
Very good,
so,
very good.
So it's
I think we're
just
all nervous.
Four of us tonight? It's just the four of us tonight?
I don't think so.
No, it's funny. I thought we had someone else booked. Let me just, hold on.
Wake up, Scott!
Shit, hold on. Wait, I know it's here somewhere.
Is he gift
wrapped?
Oh,
you know what? Of course, that's who it is. Oh my god. We've got Josh Utter Leighton Raptor himself here in the house tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Josh, welcome to the show!
Hey, glad to be here.
So, it was awesome. I was really, really excited that you agreed to step up and be on the show. I think that's fantastic. You put on a clinic this past weekend in Chicago, and you know, we couldn't be happier to have you on here right fresh off that. So so thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And this is your first podcast as well, right?
I did Men of Magic.
Okay, well that's
with
fair.
Rob Martin.
That's fair. That's so, more of like a dedicated
how was that?
Interview.
Jay, ask him the question.
I imagine that was a lot less fun than this one's gonna be.
Now let me ask you this question. It's okay if you say no, but I need to know. Do you listen to the show, or have you heard the show?
I have not listened to the show before.
Oh, man, where's the hang-up button?
No. It's okay.
Sorry.
We covered this pre-show. I told him it's okay. It's good, because it means that he gets to enjoy us for our surprise factor.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. It's gonna be good.
John, I thought you were going to ask him, like, the meta
question. Have you ever regretted a draft pick?
Or never. Like when we had Kibler on here.
Never.
Oh man.
Nice. So Josh, I gotta get some of the formalities out of the way. Like, I mean, for those of us that haven't actually listened to your Men of Magic interview, and I mean, you know, you won't hold it against us and we won't hold it against you, so that's fine. Tell us a little bit about kind of like how you picked up into Magic. Like, your top 8 profile obviously says you're a 26-year-old software engineer, but that's about as you know, full of explanation as I eat Rice Krispies for breakfast. So why don't you give us a little bit about kind of how you got into Magic?
Yes, I've been playing Magic on again and off again since basically Revised. I just played casually for the longest time, and kind of how I started playing again was in one summer during college. I was at home and I had like a spotty internet connection, and my game of choice at that time was Dota, and I couldn't really play.
Yeah.
So I was looking for other games to play, and I kind of like found Magic online and started playing Magic online a bunch that summer. And that's, you know, kind of how I got back into it and started playing competitively. You know, I got good playing Magic online a bunch. And then after graduating college, I started playing at real life events and traveling to various tournaments. So that's kind of how I got playing competitively.
Nice. So what was like the first major tournament after you kind of broke into the scene?
My first pro tour was Pro Tour Hollywood. So I guess that was kind of...
Hollywood! Fuck. All right. So at what point did the whole Channel Fireball thing develop for you? How did that start?
It started just being in the Bay Area, living in the Bay Area, being friends with, like, Luis and Ocho. And then I guess, like, the first tournament where we really got together as kind of a team was San Juan. We got a beach house and got a whole bunch of people there together for testing, you know, well in advance of the Pro Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And that went pretty well for us. So that's kind of when the testing team started. Of course, the website had started a little bit before that, and I was one of the initial writers for the Channel Fireball website.
Gotcha. So you were, like, literally, like, ground level.
How old is Channel Fireball?
Well, the website or, like, the store itself?
Like, the website is probably...
The website was the same, like, a few months before San Juan, I think. So I guess that was... Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
You never to call me here.
Brad Nelson interrupting the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, Channel Fireball, the site's been God
damn it, Brad Nelson.
Years now? Something like that?
Only a couple of years. It seems like it's such a
Well, Pro Tour San Juan was
like 2 years ago, wasn't
2010,
it?
Right?
It seems like Channel Fireball is such like a staple in the community if it's only been around that long. That's weird.
Yeah, brick and mortar shop has been around forever, but the website is relatively new.
Wow.
Nice.
So what a bunch of ballers.
Oh, I know, gosh. Right? Like, to talk about exploding onto the scene and
it
like
it makes me feel like I'm behind the curve over here in the JRPG, you know? Man. That's messed up.
So Josh, what's your proudest Magic accomplishment? This is my draft question. This is my draft
question.
Oh, man,
question. Come on, Beamy. What are we doing here?
I gotta ask. What's your proudest accomplishment? Is it national champion, or is there like a
specific term? National champion.
Yeah? Okay. And this one is one that you probably didn't answer on the Meta Magic, but tell us about your most public epic failure.
Most public failure?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Give us a little bit of vulnerability, you know?
I feel privately, I guess. I don't know. You tell me, what is my biggest failure that you're aware of?
Truthfully, I guess you're right. I don't really know.
I think you're one of those guys, and this I don't mean no offense by this, but you're one of those guys that I don't ever really notice. You know, like I know you're good at Magic, and I know that you like roll with all the good guys, and that you put up finishes, but I just never notice you like in a top eight. You know what I mean? You don't have, like,
Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. I don't self-promote or anything. I'm not writing
art. Yeah, which is kind of nice.
Well, it's actually funny because until Ocho started to, like, grow the mustache and stuff, you know, it was interesting because you guys were always sort of putting up similar finishes, you know, getting in on the scene at the same time, and you know, there's a lot of people that were just joking that you were just twins separated at birth. But, like, it's, you know, since he started to wear hats and grow the mustache, you guys have clearly set yourselves apart.
We have that different. He has, you know, the hats and the mustache, and I don't. So.
Now, how do you
also,
feel?
Also, he has, like, 5 feet. He's, like, 5 feet taller than me, something like that. So, there's also that.
Now, he's gaining a lot of popularity. He's gaining a lot of popularity for this mustache and this
hat.
Well,
he's going to lose it all now that he's not wearing the mustache or the hat. He's back to square one.
Oh, he's just secretly hoping he loses all, though, because you guys are, like, friends, and then now he's, like, getting more popular, and maybe you're getting left in the dust. I don't know, man.
Now, so the one thing I can give you credit for is you're wearing some like ridiculously pimp headphones in some of your coverage pictures. So like who are those made by? What are those things? They're insane.
They are Jaybird Bluetooth headphones. So they're wireless and they sound good.
And what do you listen to? That's what I want to know. Who gives a shit makes these things?
Just listening to a Spotify playlist. Spotify
what,
is awesome.
What Spotify play like what are you into? What's like Spotify? Kind of music? No. What playlist? Like, you know, what kind of music?
Oh, just like a collection of like my favorite songs. For tournaments, I found that I play better when I'm happy, so I listen to music that helps make me happy.
Ooh. What makes you happy?
Wow, that's like a fucking science fact. I gotta do that. I always listen to like ragey, crazy, like gangster beats.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah, it's something like Sesame Street.
Everybody's different, you know. That helps you get in the mood to just like beat the shit out of your opponent. Good for
yeah. I listen to AC/DC and Tupac Shakur. That's what I listen to. So what music makes you happy? You said you listen to music that makes you happy. What is that? I know that like Kibler's into like trance
and shit. Yeah.
Shit. Like, but what are you into?
A lot of alternative rock.
So like 90s alternative, like from that kind of stuff?
Generally more recent stuff, but sure.
All right, sweet. I was hoping you said 90s because I'm into 90s alternative.
Because we're all fucking old. Yeah. 90s were cool when we were kids.
Yeah, because we were kids in the 90s.
Though, I know.
You guys are still old.
Oh, man. Shut up, KYT. How long has your website been around, bro?
It's actually funny.
You haven't Channel Fireball yet.
It is Jonathan's birthday, actually, in like an hour and a half.
No, it's like an hour and a half away, dude. Yeah. That's not even...
So
what a piece of shit.
So when you get this, when you guys hear this, make sure if you haven't given Medina his birthday shout out by then, you should do the right thing.
So you recently just top aided a GP, right?
He fucking like second placed GP Chicago.
I know. I want him to say that, bro. I'm setting him up for the for the slam dunk, man.
Yes, I recently lost in the finals of GP Chicago.
Oh man, is that how you really look at it? Do you really look at it?
Like yeah, that is how I look at it. I mean, it's awesome. Getting second is awesome, but it is, I lost.
If you're, good at trying.
So do you feel like, replay that match and do you feel like you could have won the match? I didn't watch it, so I have no idea what happened.
I could have won the match with, a different set of top decks from my opponent, but I don't think anything that I could have done would have changed it, I don't think.
Okay. So that makes you feel better, though, right? Because, like, you couldn't do anything about your...
Well, yes and no. In some sense, it's a lot better feeling like you have control over these things. And, like, if I was just better, then I could, win every tournament. That's, like, a very comforting feeling to me. But it also is, like, a very, like, demoralizing feeling. It's like, oh, God, I'm shit. I should just win every tournament,
I feel the same way.
I'm not at the level of goodness to where like it's depressing that if I'm just better, because I know I'm never going to be that good. So I'm just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm happy for variance because then I win games.
Nice.
Oh, I mean, I'm happy for variance too because it makes the game a lot more enjoyable. But
well, I would imagine you must be happy with variance. You played 4 Bloodbraid Elves in Chicago. So on that note, tell us a little bit about sort of your testing process. Like, for those of you that were sleeping under rocks and don't actually know why it's so fucking awesome that Josh is on our show, the whole Lingering Souls in Jund thing was, like, right out of this camp. So tell us a little bit about how you guys came to it and what that process looked like.
Sure. So I guess the testing process for this tournament actually started back in testing for the Pro Tour, which was also Modern. And there, Jund was the deck that we liked the most, and back then I had considered adding Lingering Souls to it, just because, it would be way better in the mirror, and Lingering Souls just seemed really good in the format to me. Like, I'd tried playing it in a bunch of different decks, like, splashing it in the, Blue-White Angels deck and everything. Mm-hmm. So I built the deck then, looked at it, and we just kind of dismissed it as the Lingering Souls not really being worth it. Messenger being just like a better generic card, not knowing what the format was going to look like. So we never actually played a game with it in the Pro Tour testing, but we had the deck then.
And to make it clear, you came up with the deck.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if other people also thought of the idea of adding
it. But you had it built. That's gross. It's good. Okay, carry on.
All right.
Credit where credit is due,
Yeah, so after the Pro Tour, Jund, Affinity, and Infect were way more popular than we had expected, and suddenly Lingering Souls is, awesome against those decks, and Messenger is just, terrible, especially against Affinity and Infect. It's just, a blank card, doesn't do anything, whereas Lingering Souls is awesome against them. So it made a lot of sense to suddenly be playing the card now. So just got together with a friend a couple of nights before the GP, and, the first night we just played regular Jund against some of the decks that had come out from the GP the weekend before, and just kind of played some games and thought, hey, what about Lingering Souls again now? And, built it up for the next night. We played some games, and it seemed to be running well, so that was that. Just played it for the GP.
Now, the friend that you got together with, is this just like a random dude, or is it like a pro guy, like who's? Because I always wonder, like, if you play with like random guys, like, because I can imagine, like,
random local friend, yeah.
Is he good, or is he like, or is it just kind of like, you know, like, is he at your level, or
that depends on whether or not he's going to listen to this.
Okay, so he's not good. But I just asked because I always wonder how pros do this, because, like, I could imagine me and all my friends are not really good at Magic, right? And so, like, I can imagine, let's pretend, because sometimes I daydream about this, like, let's pretend that I'm really good at Magic, right? Well, playing Magic with my friends at that point would not really be fun for them, right? Because I would just crush them every time. So I wonder how pros do that.
Like, because of all the variants in Magic, you could just play against somebody who's not as good as you and still lose it some, like, a large percentage of your games. And it's still a matter of trying to get the highest win percentage you can rather than just trying to beat them. So it doesn't really matter what skill level your opponent is. It's still going to be interesting for you. As opposed to a game like chess, where that's not really going to be true. It wouldn't be interesting playing against somebody way worse than you.
Yeah, another game I'm not good at.
I'm with you on that one.
Yes!
So the main deck has been great. I mean, one of the one thing that has come out from both you and Jacob, who both played the list, was that Jacob is like, absolutely, Treetop Village should be any other land ever in existence. where do you stand on that? Like, was it fine for you, or?
Yeah, also... it was fine for me. I'm not sure that it's bad. It could easily be something else. It should probably be a fetch land, if anything, just make the Deathrite Shamans a little bit better. But I think the Treetop is totally fine. I don't know if it's worth cutting or not.
Yeah. And so here's the one that's been really interesting, and I don't know whether this is something you would look at moving forward or not. But a lot of the feedback that I've received from people that were also playing in that Grand Prix was that, and I mean, coincidentally, likely because Lingering Souls was pretty dominant, but Maelstrom Pall seemed to way overperform for people that were actually running it in their main deck. I'm noticing specifically like a 2-2 Terminate Abrupt Decay split. Is there any particular reason why you're looking at Abrupt Decay over Maelstrom Pulse in the main deck? Is it literally just instant speed?
No, it's not so much the instant speed as just costing a mana less, which is huge. You know, particularly in the mirror, Pulse doesn't really kill Tarmogoyf or Dark Confidant very well, and Abrupt Decay does, which is huge. So before Lingering Souls was a card, Abrupt Decay is just way better in the mirror. Uh-huh. And basically the same, you know, basically better overall just because it costs less. But now that Lingering Souls is a card, and now that everybody's going to have like Olivia's and Batterskulls for the mirror, Pulse is definitely the one you would want in the mirror as opposed to Abrupt Decay, which is a complete departure from what it was at before.
Yeah. So if that were the case and you were looking to move forward, would you just like keep one and sort of like just split 1-1 Pulse with the one Pulse in the sideboard, or do you think you'd actually be looking to run a couple Pulse in the main?
I would definitely consider a couple of Pulse in the main.
Yeah.
If I were to do that, though, I might also want, like, more cheap spot removal. I don't know. Like, you run the risk of making your curve too high if you're mm-hmm. changing your twos into threes and you don't make any other changes. So it's just something to consider.
And it's actually interesting when you talk about curve, because some of the experiences that I've had with the deck, I mean, I was running the Messenger version as well prior to the Grand Prix. And, I mean, I was running a couple more filter lands, and you know, which ended up allowing me to curve out a lot faster, traditionally, right? Because you can, you know, I wasn't playing a full book of Raging Ravines, which apparently is a mistake. But mm-hmm. in doing so, my mana was very consistent and very fast. So, you know, I was almost never playing any lands in a play tapped after turn, you know, before turn four. And it wasn't costing me a million life points. What I'm finding in mm-hmm. my testing with this deck is, like, Raging Ravine has such a huge impact, although the reward on the card being really powerful is beneficial, I find that, like, it radically changes the tempo of your deck.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. Like, it's costing you a mana in the early turns, which is really valuable, and that it definitely sets you back a good amount. Mm-hmm. So there is a very large cost to play in Ravine, that's for sure. I just feel like it's worth it, because the effect you get from the manland is so powerful that you definitely want it. Part of the reason that Jund is as good as it is because of Raging Ravine, because it gives you like, you trade all your cards one for one, and suddenly they're left with nothing, and you're left with a Raging Ravine, and it just kills them, like, in three turns or whatever.
Yeah. And I guess with Lingering Souls being able to provide a lot of, like, fodder and cover, I guess, and cheap mm-hmm. blockers, you kind of are able to afford to spend that turn or you know, miss that curve that turn.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much Lingering Souls affects it compared to Messenger, since Lingering Souls also gives you just more gas going long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that really impacts it either direction.
Okay. I noticed it was really nice because there's one match in particular that I was watching. I was able to kind of get in and out of coverage, and I just remember seeing it was like, okay, you know, like, God, Tarmogoyf got this, and then, you know, all of a sudden there's like, oh, five spirits on the table. Well, I guess I can start fiving you. You know, it's like, wow. And that's been the big issue with Jund, right? It's a significant lack of flying defense pre-board.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. So the other sideboard card that really came out, in my opinion, like, looking through the decks, the major cards as far as that list for breakouts were Lingering Souls and Rakdos Charm.
Yeah, Rakdos Charm is awesome. It's just, it lets you use your sideboard slots so effectively, because it's good in just so many matchups. It's good against Affinity. It's obviously not an Ancient Grudge or a Shatterstorm against them, but it's a cheap spot removal, so it's awesome. And it's great against Storm. That's, like, the matchup it's actually there for more than anything else, since it beats a Pass in Flames or an Empty the Warrens.
That was the thing that made me laugh a lot when I looked at that card. And, I mean, also Twin, if it's a thing, you can surprise them with that sometimes too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's really nice. And so Rule of Law and Rakdos Charm was really sort of your into against Storm, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Metamorph was in for what? Just opposing Olivia's and Geist of St. Trapped?
It's for primarily the mirror. So being able to just kill off their Olivia or copy their Batterskull. Those are, like, the two of the biggest threats post-board, so it's good against both of them. And, you know, you can always just play it as a Tarmogoyf or whatever you need to, rather than getting stuck with another expensive spell in your hand. And then, yeah, Geist of St. Traft against the Gist deck, being able to just clone their legend. It's not like they're going to Iona Blue, so nice. Being able to kill that off for 3 mana. And then it also does some good work against Affinity, since Etch Champion's their best card against you post-board. You can, you know, kill everything else and still just die to a champion. It lets you copy their champion and just block and trade, which is really good.
Nice. So, yeah, it looks like there's... Okay, so there's a lot of cards for that have a lot of applications in a lot of matchups. Like, I mean, I'm looking at the mirror. I mean, are you bringing in, like, both Batterskulls, both Olivias, like, the Metamorph? Is all of that coming in?
Yeah, those five. And then potentially the Ancient Grudge, if you know that they are on... a bunch of Batterskulls and Metamorphs.
Yeah. Wow. All right, sweet. Yeah, that's wild. Like I said, there's just a couple cards that really stood out to me, and I really wanted to make sure we talked about them, because, you know, they were not really seen prior to. So that was really wild. Good. Awesome. Yeah, that's really wild. I'm looking forward to playing this weekend. I'm going to play some more matches with it. I'll put the sideboard together as you have it. A couple cards that, and I think we were talking about this offline real quick, that I know we're seeing is, like, Sword of Light and Shadow. I saw Electricery against Storm Tokens the other day, which made me laugh my face off.
Yeah, I actually had an Electricery cast against me in the GP, which kind of was like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah. All of my spirits!
Good thing those Death Ride Shamans are 1-2s.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's pretty sweet. And, yeah, I know Luis was running 3 Shatterstorms, and you ran only 2, opting instead for the Miser's Ancient Grudge, just because. You were happy with that choice? Paid off for you in the end?
I guess. I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
It's a pretty marginal decision. I liked having an Ancient Grudge just as good utility for non-Affinity matchups. Certainly, like, I think Shatterstorm's a better card against Affinity, because Etch Champion is such a problematic card for you.
God, it's terrible.
He just wanted to do it for some flair, you know? He's just like, you know what? I'm just going to add one of these. I like this card.
I do like Ancient Grudge. It is one of my favorite cards of all time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I guess I just really like blowing up artifacts. I don't know.
It's funny because when you first played as a casual player, like, the artifact deck that your friend had, like, just beat the shit out of you. So you're like, this card is awesome! It was like when I discovered freaking Royal Assassin. My buddy used to play Slivers, and like that was his deck, and my first deck was mono black, and he would just kill me every time. And then I'm like, whoa, this Royal Assassin card, you just tap it and kill his creatures. And so I love that card. Until he discovered Ward Sliver. And then I couldn't win a game.
So, Josh, are you you coming to GP Toronto as well?
I am, yeah. Oh. Actually, just booked my flight yesterday.
So sick. Oh,
how expensive was it?
It was 25,000 miles.
So $0.
Because yeah. LSV was saying how expensive it was for him. He was tweeting about how it was going to cost him $750 and that he might not come to the GP, I think.
Yeah, flights were looking like $650, so I was able to get it cheaply with miles, though, so that was nice.
Nice. Well, I understand, like, PV's coming up, too, so that's going to be crazy. Yeah, we're really looking forward to hanging out with you guys. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We will have a special party host. We're gonna be hosting a party on very close to site on the Saturday night. So like from 9 o'clock or whatever. So make sure you come by and have a drink, have a beer, whatever. Eat some food, have some wings, and hang out with us for a little bit before you recharge and go crush day two.
Absolutely.
So
sounds good.
You play Magic professionally, like for a living, or do you do something else as well?
No, I work full time as a software engineer at a startup company.
Oh, sweet! So, do you like when you say software engineer? Like, do you program the software, or do you just like do support tickets, or what do you do? Like, are you like a programmer?
Yeah, I'm a programmer.
Oh my gosh! So when you were in high school, were you like, when I grow up, I want to be a software programmer?
No, I don't plan that far in advance. I have no idea what I wanted to do.
So how did this software programmer thing, did you just go to college and then be like, well, computers is like really good money, so I'm just going to go into this business?
No, I enjoyed programming. I enjoyed my computer science classes, so decided that's what I wanted to major in.
Sweet, sweet.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm interested in that stuff because I do IT as well. But I call myself a professional password resetter. Pretty much what I do all day is just reset people's passwords.
Yeah, I've heard that too. About IT folk, I've heard the same thing.
Yeah.
Are you in support? Yep. Oh, passwords.
Yeah, password resetter. I always give the... I'm in second level support, so I like to give the other administrator shit, you know? And they'll ask me something at the coffee machine. I'll be like... Do you need some second level support? Is that what I'm hearing here? Just to be an asshole. It's great. Oh,
man. Sick. So, okay. So everybody that we have on the show, we ask the same question.
Scumbag stories.
Do you have any scumbag stories for us?
No, everyone's always so nice to me. No, I don't have any scumbag stories at all.
Bullshit.
He's lying. He's lying.
I mean it. I really don't have any scumbag stories.
Really?
We gotta get some worse players on the show. Like some like level, you know, like tier one pros instead of tier two, to use John's analogy. None of the good pros have scumbag stories ever.
I know.
Just bash the shit out of all these people. They're all like, oh, good games.
He's like, everyone just keeps asking me for my autograph. I don't.
You played really well. I want to shake your hand.
Oh man.
Can you sign my playmat?
Yeah.
Do you get that a lot? Do people ask you to sign stuff?
Yeah, it's pretty common.
Does that make you feel like a rock star?
No, not really.
Really? No? It doesn't go to your head? You're not just like, yeah, I'm signing these guys' playmat. I'm awesome. Oh, man. I don't know. He sounds just too level-headed, man. Josh just sounds level-headed, you know? He's not crazy.
Yeah, he's not crazy.
I apologize for not being crazy.
You don't even have a scumbag story about, like, a girl that dumped you? Or a guy, maybe? Or, like, a bus that ran you over one time? Like, nothing?
A bus that ran me over one time? That's something that comes up a lot. Like,
you'd be surprised some of the shit that we hear every day. Like, seriously.
Yeah, who told that scumbag story about the girl who was dating that guy who was a dirtbag? That was AJ.
AJ,
right?
Yeah.
AJ's scumbag story was the best. So,
We get some real good ones on here. Josh, you'd be surprised at how terrible people are to each other in the community. Maybe you wouldn't be.
Apparently I would be. Everyone just always seems so nice.
Yeah, do you have Twitter?
I am on Twitter.
Do you use it a lot? Like, do you read everybody's, like, crap on there?
Yeah.
Oh, so you should know that the whole community is not nice? Come on, man.
Well, yeah, of course people on the internet are not nice. When you interact with people in real life, they generally are.
Oh, man. That's true. People in real life are too scared to be, like, as mean as they are on the internet, for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, I'm just trying to tap in, Josh, into your personal life, because, like I said, I don't know anything about you, man. You just kind of like fly under the radar, you know? You're not like wearing hats or growing mustaches like Ocho, you know? And so I guess like what would you want people in the Magic community to know about you that's different than this like Magic stuff, you know?
I don't really have an answer to that because I'm not like trying to get myself out there. I don't know.
What do you want out of this whole Magic playing? Like, obviously it's fun and hanging out with your friends and stuff, but is there anything specifically that you're looking to get out of it?
That's exactly what I'm looking to get out of it. I'm looking to have a good time, you know? I love playing the game, so I just keep playing it.
And they just keep inviting me all around the world to do it, and they just keep paying me the money.
Makes sense. I mean, if they weren't doing that, then I would just keep playing Magic online, you know?
Yeah, I guess that makes a lot of sense. Do you play a lot of Modo right now? How much Magic a week do you play? Like, to be as good as you are, like, how much are you playing? Because there's some people that just innately ridiculous.
Yeah, right now I'm actually not playing very much at all. I'd say other than, like, well, traveling to a GP every weekend, basically. But during the week, I only get in, you know, maybe 6 hours a week.
Yeah, that's not very much.
No. How many GPs have you been to this year?
All of the North American ones? I have no idea how many that is.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't play very much Magic. I just play like 40 games a year.
I think they're my other than the traveling. I don't play much Magic.
You know.
Have you ever played Modo at work?
Well, I'm at the office right now on this call, so...
Okay, all right.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, so you work a lot then, probably, right?
No, I work, like, fairly normal hours. Like, I don't think I work much more than 40 hours a week, generally.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, it's 7 o'clock over there, I guess. 7:30.
Yeah, I also don't get into the office until 11, so...
Oh, okay, well...
Wow, what a sweet life.
Swing shift! Yeah.
Oh, man. I tried that, too, but they said they were going to fire me, because I started at 8, so...
Yeah.
Sick.
Right on. So what else do you do? You play Magic, you program software, you live in the Bay Area, right? So do you like surf?
I live in California, so I must surf. Why does everyone always surf, think right? that?
Well, people assume us Canadians live in igloos and wear toques all the time, and that's not true either, so...
Well, are you sure?
Yeah, right?
Pixar didn't happen.
So no, I'm not a surfer.
No. What part of you live in southern the Bay Area? Let's see.
Like, I live in San Jose.
So it's San Jose. Yeah.
It's south of San Francisco.
Yeah, I know where that's at. So you don't like go? Do you go to Santa Cruz and like hang out? Do you freaking like? You know what are you up to, man? What do you do when you're not programming software and beating people at Magic?
Losing to people at Magic would be the next most common activity, I think.
So do you and LSB like rent a boat and like go out on the ocean and fish or
Well, did LSB moved, right?
Yeah, he lives in Denver now.
Yeah.
In Denver?
Yeah.
Oh, that's some bullshit.
He's working on a project with a bunch of people out there, a new game or something, I don't know.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So Josh, tell us a little bit about sort of your interactions with your teammates. Is there anybody sort of in the testing group that you have a natural chemistry with in terms of like effective playtesting? Is there someone you get along with the best?
I mean, I'd like to think that I get along with everyone well. I definitely get along with Ochoa pretty well. Like we come from kind of the same place, and you know, it's playing games with him usually works out pretty well.
Nice. Okay. And is there anyone that you would say you get along with the least? Maybe they just clash with your personality style?
Maybe they're a dick?
Maybe they're a dick is what we're getting at.
Yeah, back when Brad was on the team, you know, his smoking habits, those were always terribly annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. The play one game. Okay, smoke break, let's go.
Some dirt, yeah. I can imagine.
He comes back smelling like cigarettes. That's always lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's great. That's great. Okay, so that's good. That's good. We're getting a little dirt. I like this. Brad listens to the cast, by the way. He loves it.
Jay, yeah. I thought you told him to quit.
I tried to get him to quit, yeah. Brad Nelson, he won't listen to anybody. He's crazy. It's like, Brad, I'm worried about you. I don't want you to die. And he was like, man, back up off me. I was like, man.
See, the response he always gives me is like, oh yeah, I'm going to quit next week.
Yeah, I'm on it. I'm on it. Next week. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
Tomorrow never comes.
It's just moved to apparently the electronic cigarette's the way to go. That's what I'm hearing.
That thing tastes like shit.
I've also heard that. The stupidest thing I've ever seen. People look retarded when they're smoking those things.
I agree.
Come on. There's a couple kids in my shop. You guys know who you are. You know what? Sorry, guys. You look retarded. You know, I like you guys.
Do you look any more retarded than you do smoking a normal cigarette?
Yes. Yes, like 100 times more retarded.
Do they just smoke at F&M? Like, they just...
Yeah. They come
in the store smoking.
But the electronic cigarettes don't like. Yeah. They don't like smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just you know put out vapor and nicotine.
They're holding it like a cigarette and they're like flicking it like they're all cool and stuff. And I'm like, dude, it's an electronic cigarette. You're smoking a dude. Get out of my face.
They're not flicking it because it's cool. They're flicking it because they have this like weird tick when you smoke cigarettes. Smoking is the best.
No,
you tell Brad Nelson anytime he wants to come over and have a cigarette, you just let me know.
I'm not going to tell him that. I'm not going to encourage this behavior.
It's fine. No one's going to hold you responsible. Like, on those little cigarette packs, it's never a picture of, like, a normal guy who didn't help his friend. Right? It's never like, you could have stopped this, enabler. It's never, it doesn't, that's never the thing. You don't have to worry about it, man. Come on.
What is this, peer pressure somebody into smoking?
We may or may not have proven ourselves in the past to be a corrupting influence on other people. I should have warned you. That was in the fine print.
I don't think we're going to corrupt Josh.
I don't think that's remotely
possible. I don't think that's possible.
I think Josh is going to make us less crazy.
I'm going to make you into better people.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I'm here for.
Nice.
He's rubbing off on us. We're melting. Instead of scumbag stories, we want to hear about the good guy's stories, Josh. Have you ever played an opponent where you were just like, man, you're the best?
Yeah.
Jay's going to do that.
You must have scumbag stories about Dota. Everybody that plays is a scumbag.
How are those even stories, though? Like, oh yeah, this one time this guy raged at me on the internet? Somebody was wrong on the internet? Like, how are these stories?
Oh, man. Well, that's MTG Salvation. Those aren't stories, bro.
That's right. That's a timeline, sir.
Oh, man. So what is this Dota thing? You always talk about it, but I don't even know what it is.
It's the best game ever. Even PV plays it.
Oh, man. Sounds like the worst game ever. Is it like an online game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it sort of like League of Legends?
League of Legends came after it, so League of Legends is sort of like it.
But League of Legends is more popular right now, right?
No, it only seems more popular.
Okay, because of the popularity?
Yeah. No. So more people are talking about it, so it seems more popular. I get that.
I get that.
Yeah, but it's not actually more popular.
Okay, all right. It's good enough.
Like more people don't play it. They just talk about it.
Okay, so the popular community surrounding League of Legends is really big, and not so much for Dota. But the number of people that play Dota outnumber the League of Legends players, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Because League of Legends sucks.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So is it like Warcraft? This is like, here, I'm like totally humiliating myself, right? This is so funny. Right out there on the limb.
You know, this is a podcast about magic. I don't think we want to waste Josh Utterly's time.
No, no, this guy's busy. He flies to GPs every weekend, man.
And when I'm not there, I'm playing, you know, League of Legends, so.
So garbage!
Garbage. He probably plays League of Legends for the same reason that everybody else does, because one of their friends is like, let's play League of Legends, and then everyone's like, no, and then he's like, fine, fuck you, I'm going to play it by myself, and then everyone's like, ugh, I guess we'll just, like, ugh, I guess we'll just follow Kibler over League of Legends, let's play it, he plays it, and then we gotta get team chat going, like, if he leaves, my fucking Ventrilo and my Mumble servers are now empty, I'm not going to play with my friends, you know, it's like that. It's like how
We actually got into it because we watched the North American finals when we were at the Players Championship.
Yeah.
And we decided that we're going to form a Channel Fireball League of Legends team and win the $2 million.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Is there more? Why wouldn't you do that for Dota? Turn the dark side, Josh.
Does Dota give $2 million to first place?
No.
These guys are sure in for the money, bro. They're in it for the money. Do you play FNM or do you just play online?
I play FNM every now and then, but it's hard for me to actually get to FNM in time for it when it starts.
I imagine he also has to, like, you know, be on a plane most days.
Right.
Yeah, but I want to know, do you win when you play FNM or do you get your ass kicked?
50-50 between the two.
What?
Yeah, so like you go, there's times when you go to an FNM and you like 2-2.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Like, are you playing like an event deck? Why?
A ham sandwich shuffled up with some cardboard flex.
The thing is that Jay plays a bunch of droolies at his FNM and he just actually can't lose. He can't lose in his FNM.
False. Do you hear that, Matt Mercier?
We also have draft FNMs and I'm like really bad at draft, so.
So do you feel like that's one of the things that's kind of like keeping you out of the winner's circle at the Pro Tour?
I mean, I don't feel like I'm being kept out of the winner's circle of the Pro Tour, but if I was, it would certainly be because of draft. Like, I'm definitely better at constructed than at draft, and you know, my win percentages reflect that.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. How about this? What's your favorite movie?
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one, actually.
And don't say I don't watch movies, because I will kick your ass, Josh.
Oh, I don't watch movies. I'm sorry.
He will beat you until you stop moving.
Where's he going to be at the GP next?
He will just beat your fucking...
Oh, shit. I'm actually going to see you at the GP? Okay. My favorite movie is Memento.
Nice. Okay.
What's his favorite movie?
Memento.
Oh, that's a good one. That is
Memento.
A good one.
I think someone already said that on our show once.
All right. Okay, so that's your favorite movie. But if you had to say top five movies of all time, what would they be?
So Memento, The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
The Godfather.
Ooh.
After that, let's say The Prestige.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Oh, that movie was good, but it's not top five all time. Ooh. Where is the hang up button? My God.
He's got my favorite. It's not the best five of all time, right?
He's got to throw the trendy one in there. That's his trendy pick.
That's a good one. That's fine.
That's his like sleeper Jeff Foster pick.
Yeah, sure. And the other one's got to be Fight Club, then, right?
Club's up there, but kind of just want to like throw some random chick flick in here just to like
like How to Get a Guy in 10 Days. Yeah,
it's How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, dumbass.
He did that on purpose. He totally just fell in.
That was a sick movie, man. Matthew McConaughey and that blonde chick. She's hot.
Kate Hudson. That's what my
She's
wife
hot,
looks
right,
like.
Josh? She's
That's
hot.
What my wife looks like. She's hot. My wife looks like Kate Hudson.
I'm not talking about your wife. I wouldn't say your wife is hot, dude.
You should. She's
I'm not going to say that about another guy's wife, just right?
What if his wife's hot?
She is hot.
I'm not going to acknowledge it.
So you're saying his wife's
that's,
ugly?
That's like a compliment. Like, wow, you managed to snag a really hot wife.
Josh, I traded up so bad. There's not a day that goes by that I don't thank my lucky stars that one day she woke up drunk enough to say yes. Like, are you kidding me?
You're like, got him, boys. Oh man.
So the fifth movie?
He said Brave.
I thought it was in the clear.
No, I missed
it. No, we don't ever let anything go here.
No. We're like elephants with our memory.
Elephants? What? Shut up.
An elephant never forgets. What do you want?
We're like elephants.
Let's say The Hangover.
Oh, my God. Right. Oh, my God.
Jesus, having a stroke.
All right, Jade, what are the top five? Correct.
Nope.
Didn't we have an AMA for this nonsense?
Ruined it.
Oh, no. We said, like, other stuff, like, what books do you read? Like, you know, stuff like that.
No, yeah, I guess there was
something. Yeah. Trapped in Paradise has to be in the top five, I think. For sure.
I've never even heard of that movie.
What? Get out of my life.
Trapped in Paradise?
Trapped in Paradise. Look it up.
Is it a God movie?
It's not a God movie.
I bet it is.
That's I can't put any God movies in the top five. God movies are terrible, man.
IMDb.com. All right, Josh, just bear with us here. We know you're a busy guy, but this is science that
this
we have to.
This is important perform. Shit, right?
This is very important. I'm right here.
Have you seen this movie, Josh? Have you seen it?
No.
What? You haven't seen Trapped in Paradise? You guys are losers.
Nicolas Cage and John Lovitz.
Yes!
Oh, Nicolas Cage, I'm sold. Yeah.
This movie sounds terrible! It's got 5.7 stars.
Oh, 1994. This is the bank robber movie.
Yeah, and it's got
Dana Carvey
too.
Dana Carvey, fuck you. You are a fucking idiot. Oh my God.
How did you get the nickname Raptor?
Yeah!
It's just the name I've used online forever, and I used it for Magic Online, so that's kind of how everyone knew me at first.
You didn't, like, kidnap a blonde girl, put her in a fridge?
Oh my God.
Jurassic Park?
I plead the fifth. Just move along.
So wait, Raptor, what? Why did you name yourself Raptor?
Well, I was a little kid when I came up with it, and I thought it was awesome, and it turns out I was right.
No, when you were a little kid.
That's the worst story. You can't give yourself a nickname.
We're gonna go back.
I can just imagine, like, Josh on a date, like, hey, I'm Josh.
My friends call me Raptor.
You can call me Raptor. I'm like, I'm not going to call you that. No, you could. Everyone does.
So is this like from the movie Jurassic Park, like the raptors from that, or where does it come
it's
from?
When you're raptor with the W, sir.
Whatever, dude. I'm asking Josh. I'm not asking you, man.
I don't have an answer for you.
Huh, so you just made it up when you were a kid. You're just like,
yes,
raptor. Like, you're like, this kind of sounds like Viper, but more badass. So I'm gonna go with Raptor.
Sounds nothing like Viper.
Yeah, it does have an ER at the end. Oh, man. Okay. So you have no answer, but it just sounded cool when you were a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think you should have came up with a cooler nickname.
It's fine. Move on to something else. For fuck's sakes.
Oh, I can't razz Josh about anything. He's like,
no, he's so, like, just firm in his stance.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm trying to find something to get him with, man. We gotta get him. He's on the A-team, bro. Oh, man.
Yeah, this is pretty tame, Josh. You're getting off pretty easy.
I'm telling you, he's rubbing off on us, man. He's got, like, this force field around him that just, like, starts to, like, and, like, just kind of, like, turn us into something else.
You know, that's fine. You don't want to improve my life. That's fine. Why don't you just back up off him?
See? Look at Jay Bush accepting improvement in his life. Oh, man.
All right, Josh, how about this? For our listeners who are nowhere near your skill level, to be honest, they're terrible. What is the single most important piece of advice you can give them? Magic or otherwise?
That's
or
really
both?
Good. Jay, that's a really good question.
Yeah, I know.
I have an answer for both, actually. It's learn how to learn. If you can, you know, pick up one skill to help you out in life, that's the one you want. Learn how to learn.
Hmm.
Wow.
How do you do that?
Let's start with a Google search.
Nice.
He's like, gonna send me the link. Let me Google that for you.
I was just gonna say.
Okay, so that's the life advice. Learn how to learn. But it's like, isn't that like a freaking catch 22? Because like, if you don't know how to learn and you need to learn this, right? How are you supposed to learn how to learn?
You had to learn that part.
You can't learn because you have to learn how to do it, right? This is a bunch of bullshit.
That's the first step.
All right, let's see if he's got some better magic advice. he said it's the same thing.
Yeah, I feel like his magic advice is the same advice, and that you didn't get that. Whoa. That's how I feel.
Now my mind. Right,
no, for some actionable magic advice, short of just like playing more, which is obvious, I think one of the things that helps a lot is watching other people play, because you'll be able to see not just the plays that you would see, but the plays that they're making also. So it definitely helps if you can watch people who are better than you, so that you can, you know, kind of see more what you should be doing. And one of the best tools for doing that is Magic Online, and just firing it up and opening up replays, like especially if there's players that you know are good. You know, follow them around and watch their replays, and that can help you a lot. When I first started playing online, you know, I found somebody who, you know, won like the first two sealed events I was in or something, and I just started watching his replays. It was Ace Man, if any of you guys know who that is. So yeah, Ace like I, watching his replays, that's kind of like, it helped me get better a lot faster.
Hmm. I've been doing that with Adam Prozac's stream.
Oh yeah, streaming now even better, because then you get to like hear their thought process as well.
Yeah, it's insane. Like I've been trying to play the blue white deck, so I'm trying to learn it. So Prozac streams like twice a week or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he does it for like 3 hours a time. So like I've watched like 20 hours of Prozac play this deck, and like first of all, he's just hilarious when he's playing, so that's like big plus. But second of all, he's doing things that I would like. I look at the board state and I say, okay, I would do this right in my head, but then he does something totally different. And it makes way more sense what he does, you know? So now I'm just starting to learn how to play the deck like he plays it. And it's really improved. It's really improved my play skill at it.
Yeah, that's absolutely what you want to be doing, especially sitting there and thinking through what you would be doing if you were in his spot. And, like, if he does something different and it's better, like, figuring out why. It's really valuable.
Yeah, the whole thing was I was not understanding the pace of the deck. Like, he would let things hit him and let things resolve, where I was just trying to counter everything and, like, trying to, like, jam, like, more damage, like, trying to get more damage in. But he was okay to just, like, sit there and grind. And then I seen that if I do that, then I get to make decisions based on more information. Then, whereas I'm, like, trying to hurry, then I'm, like, forcing myself into these pigeonholes and then just exhausting more resources by doing that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also sometimes like with this deck, like sometimes you don't care if stuff resolves because it just doesn't matter at all, you know? So I have to like stop trying to jump the gun and like counter everything and then just instead say, well, does that even matter? And if it doesn't, just like let it resolve and fight other battles, you know?
So do you don't stream yourself?
I have not, no.
No, okay. Okay. Is this something that you've been thinking about doing, or it's just a matter of not really having the time or desire to do so?
Not really the time or the desire. Like when streaming seems like a lot more work than just like playing Magic. Like when I get home from work at night, you know, I can fire up Magic Online and play some games and it'll be like fun and relaxing. And it seems like if I'm streaming that it's not really that, then it becomes more of like a hassle and a chore. So. Not really something I'm interested in.
Yeah, sometimes Adam goes, okay, I'm going to stop talking, guys. I got to focus for a second. and then he just starts like trying to play through. He's like, I got to play through this, guys. I got to play through this. I'll explain it later.
It is really a lot harder to try to play Magic like while explaining what you're doing. Everyone kind of says that about making videos and that they play worse and everything, but it's really true. It's a lot harder. I don't know why it is so much harder, but it really is.
The proof's totally there. I mean, like, truthfully, my last two, because I've been streaming every Wednesday, right, for John's site, and it's the same thing. Like the last 2 weeks have been just brutal. Like we were on a good streak where I mean, we were 3-1-ing most of the dailies, you know, pretty easily. And we just got to the point where the stream started to pick up a little bit more. There were more people that, you know, were looking to interact. And, like, we've been able to buy a win. Like last night, it was just like, last week, I literally, like, we literally did not win a single game of Magic that we played. It was fucking terrible. Like, I could not believe it. I mean, then I go into the GPT the next day, and I lose in the finals, right? So, it's just, it's one of those things. But,
you're
like, last...
say I win in the semifinals.
No, I thought I would like follow in the footsteps of our esteemed guest, and I would just go, I lost in the finals. But yeah, so I can totally relate, and the proof is there, and unfortunately, the internet is written in ink, so that's how it is.
Yeah, we were playing a modern last night, and I haven't played any modern at all, so I was like calling out plays that were terrible. I was like, let's do this, and then I'm like, oh wait, that's probably pretty bad, and everyone in the stream is like, no, you idiot, and I'm like, yeah, I know, guys, I know, I was just joking.
I had to go back, actually, and there were some people that I was asking on Twitter. I'm like, okay, so I know I played like an absolute donkey last night, but I'm actually better than that, right? Like, yeah, I'm better than I played last night, right? Like, we've played about 50, 60, 70 games of Magic. Like, I'm actually better than that, right? Yes, Scott, you're better than that.
They're like, Venus is rubbing off on you. No big deal.
Thank God. And then someone else made the comment. They're like, yeah, I can't believe how you know, you're playing Magic, entertaining the stream, you know, and interacting with the chat for, like, 4 hours. Like, how are you not dead? It's tough work, man. I don't blame you.
I was learning that I don't play Magic fast enough online.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, clock, like, management is huge, especially
when
you're streaming.
You know what these assholes do? They freaking, like, when you start running low on your clock, they start, like, charging their clock. So that you stop paying attention and then they pass it back to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, maybe you have, like, 2 minutes left, right? Like, because I was playing this deck and I'm like thinking through the decisions because I've been watching that stream. So I'm like, yeah, like, because Adam like talks while he's playing. And I'm just like figuring like, oh yeah, we have all the time in the world. Like, I'm just talking this through in my head. And then I look at the clock and I'm like, oh crap, I have 2 minutes. Like, I have to close this game. So I start trying to be fast, but then they like, I pass it back to them and then they wait for like a minute. And then I like have to wait there with like my button on the next, you know, like, you know. And I can't, like, F6 it because I might have a count or something. Mm-hmm. So it's just the worst. This guy almost timed me out, but I killed him. I was like, ah, suck it.
Moto mind games.
Yeah, those bastards.
Bastards. All right, Joshua, look, I know we're getting close to your hour. Are you still got some time, or where are you at?
Yeah, I can hang out for a little bit more here.
Nice. Well, let's talk a little bit about sort of where we are at this week in Magic. KYT, you played in, like, a PTQ or some shit in Burlington, didn't you?
Yep, I did.
You saw some of our dedicated fans out there?
Yes, I did.
Burlington what? In Canada?
Yeah.
No, not Burlington, Canada.
Oh, Burlington, Vermont.
Vermont.
Oh, okay.
Went to my old
stomping
grounds,
dude? You mean not Burlington
Coat
Factory?
I can't believe you went to my stomping grounds, bro.
Yeah, I did go to your old stomping grounds. Like,
where was the PTQ?
At a Holiday Inn somewhere. I'm not... Okay.
Did you win or what, dude?
No, I got totally owned.
So, KYT, stop presuming for a second that everybody watched your video blog, which is available over on G+, and tell us what the fuck happened, please, sir.
I don't, like... Open a pool that I... I suck, that's it. Like,
so it was a sealed PTQ.
Yeah, it was sealed PTQ.
And you sucked out.
I sucked out.
But
David,
other stuff, right?
David Shields ended up winning it, so that was pretty nice. But the people I went down with, like two of my friends, actually three people I knew top eight at the event, but neither of them ended up winning. So I felt bad for them.
How far is Burlington, Vermont from you?
I think it was just an hour and 40 minutes, so it wasn't that bad at all. It's probably actually the closest PTQ from Montreal that I could go to that's not inside of Montreal itself.
Wow.
So it's even closer than Ottawa and all the other Canadian cities, definitely closer than Toronto.
Oh, man. Maybe next time I'm in Vermont, I gotta go up and visit you, man.
Wait, how far is it from Ohio?
Vermont is like 12 hours from Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm always over there, like, because my wife has family there. So we always go back to Vermont to visit. Yeah.
I mean, it's not that exciting. I opened a pool that I don't think was that great. It had 3 annihilating fires, but no other good red cards. So I was really trying to make it work, and I don't think I was able to find the best build with the pool I made. And got crushed by, like, definitely decks that were better built or faster. I got beat by someone that just went turn 1, like, turn 2, turn 3, haste creature, and I just got totally obliterated. So it wasn't a good day for me overall. You know, I got to see Tony and Mariah again, so that was awesome.
Yeah, they live in Maine, right? So they're only like, I don't know, 2 hours from there.
Yeah, those guys are always huge supporters of mine. And was sad to not see Bryce there. Like, he never shows up to any events that he could be at anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But that's about it. I mean, PTQ-wise, there's not much left for me to queue from Montreal. It's basically online PTQing until, you know, there's no more. So,
you mean like the MotoGP?
Or then there's the, I have the top 4 Toronto, I guess.
Oh, I guess there's that too, right?
Right. So I've got to figure that out. Scott.
What are you looking at me for? Like I'm going to block for you effectively. What the fuck?
Effectively, he says.
Come on. I mean, I can go beat people up in the chairs, but like that's not going to do me any good for the future.
Oh, I mean, you've played so much Modern now. I was talking about advice.
I have played so much Modern now. Probably not as much as Josh, but, you know.
He apparently hasn't been playing that often. That's what he said.
Yeah, well. So, yeah, I've been playing it a lot. It's, you know what? I love the format. I enjoy it. It's got clearly defined, you know, baddies and goodies. And you know what? There's still lots of room for, you know, innovations. And Kibler's article this week was actually pretty good on the subject. You know, he talks about his Hate Bears deck, and, you know, that looked like it was pretty good and well-positioned to beat up on, you know, all the discard stuff in Jund. And, you know, 4/4 creatures on turn 2 that are swinging as 5/5s are pretty good. So, you know, that's like Abrupt Decay is a pretty good card in that capacity. But, you know, the format is really interesting because it's like Jund, combo decks, and then, like, decks that are like pet decks, right? Like Legacy in that capacity. But then there's also just decks that come along that are engineered specifically to destroy or take out a pillar or two of that, you know, established metagame and then just rip for a week. You know, it's interesting. I like it. Plus I get to play with a lot of these old, fun, really powerful cards. And I mean, they don't all cost a fortune like Legacy does. So it's like mini Legacy, which makes me happy. I like it. I'm not quite baller enough to play Legacy or Vintage, so this kind of gets there.
So you've been playing mostly Modern this week in your Magic world?
Me? Yeah, exclusively Modern. I haven't actually played a full game of Standard in Christ. Like a very long time. Very long time.
Man, it just seems like not a lot of people are playing Standard that I talk to. I love Standard right now. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. There's a lot of people playing Standard on Moto, and I think there's also, like, the SCG events are still a thing, right? Like, people still go to that. Josh, I noticed that, like, a lot of the Channel Fireball people don't go to these events, and not even the Invitationals, which seem like they're, like, really high EV tournaments. Is there something to do with that, or... what?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really about the EV of the tournament, so that's not really the draw. It's just a matter of we only want to go to so many tournaments, and there's already more GPs than most people want to go to. Mm. So if it means like going to a Star City or going to a GP, we just pick the GP.
Okay. It's fair answer. Just thought I would ask.
Yeah. Also, since nobody really plays in the qualifiers, nobody's qualified for the Invitationals. Which probably has something to do with people not going to them.
Right, right. That's good. All right. No, I just thought I'd ask, because I know a lot of people are just like going to an IQ, you know, like a super invitational qualifier, some like local stores killing it, and then just, you know, playing in the tourney. But that makes a whole lot of sense. It's like, do I go to that or do I go to a GP? Well, I could hit two GPs in the time that it would take me to go to the invitational and or the invitational qualifier. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Josh, are you going down to GP Charleston?
I am, yeah.
Okay. So how much standard have you been playing?
Zero.
So what are you playing this weekend?
I haven't played a game of standard since I think Jason the Mind Sculptor was legal.
Nice!
Oh, wow. Bad, serious?
Nice!
Oh, that's brutal.
I thought I was bad. You got me beat there, sir.
So if you were going to play standard, what would it be? Like, what deck do you like?
I mean, I haven't really played, so... Probably just going to play whatever somebody else tells me is good.
Oh, man.
Brad's got a sweet deck, so might be playing that.
Oh, cool. Is it one that we haven't seen yet, or is it like one that's kind of tuned from what's already out there?
I would say it's not like 100% new, but it's something new.
Cool.
Niv-Magus in standard. No, I'm just kidding.
We didn't think there'd be that much John, so...
Oh, we love you, Jerry.
I've been playing that Blue-White Wizards deck, and I just love it, man. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, the Blue-White Flash deck?
Yeah, the Blue-White Flash. And I love... My favorite thing about this deck is that everyone, like, as I'm watching Prozac stream and, like, in every article that I read, everyone is always constantly asking the same questions. They're always like, how come we're not running Geist's Aintrap in this deck?
Yeah, it's like, why are you running Messenger?
Yeah, and then the other question is, why don't we run Ghost Quarter to kill Caverns? It's like... I love watching that over and over again. It's great.
See, I'm one of those idiots that's wondering why that deck isn't playing Geist's Aintrap.
Well, the reason why is because you don't want to tap your mana on your opponent's turn. There's basically six spells that you have to tap your mana on your opponent's turn, and there are four of them are Augur Bolas and two of them are Pikes. So, like, you just basically play an instant speed on your opponent's turn. So playing Geist of Saint Trap, also, like, you have to devote so much resources and energy to try to make Geist of Saint Trap work, because you're, like, trying to swing through Thrag Tusk and trying to swing through Centaur Healers and, like, Lingering Souls and all that crap, you know? So you really have to, like, tune your deck just to, like, try to swing through that stuff. So you heavily depend on...
Yeah, no, I understand that. I just wonder why a deck tuned to make Geist good is not better than that deck. Like, how is anybody beating Geist plus Pike? It just does not seem like a very beatable card to me.
Yeah, but even, like, how does someone beat Restoration Angel plus Pike? Like, it just...
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's fair. Pike does seem... Pike, I guess, just seems really good also.
Oh, yeah, Pike is insane. Pike is really insane. That's one of the things, is you just kind of just grind them out with counter spells and stuff, and then you just play a Pike and hit the... It's like a two-shot, you know, with a Restoration Angel or something. And whenever I played against Geist with this deck, I feel fine. Like, I have Angels and Snapcasters to block, and then I also have, like, Syncopate and, you know, Essence Scatters to freaking counter it. And then also you have Unsummons and, like, Azorius Charms. If you really want to, like, slow the clock down, you can bounce to Angel or, you know, do stuff like that. So it's really not, like, that big a deal. And then after board, you bring in Divine Verdict or Supreme Verdict. And then, you know, you can just blow the Geist up. So it just doesn't... you just gain so much more by, like, drawing a card on turn three than just playing a Geist and then... You know, having them play a dude, and then you just stare at it, you know, until you... It also forces you to play, like, if you're going to swing with the Geist, you have to play something on their turn. I mean, on your turn. So you're like, okay, swing, and then, like, maybe you Azorius Charm, or maybe you do something, but it's all on your turn. So then you open yourself up for them to, like, untap, and then Haymaker you, or, like, Planeswalker, or Thrag Tusk, or something like that, you know? Whereas with this deck, you're just kind of, like, on turn two, Augur, and then you're just countering everything, and then you have all these instants, and then you're like, Pike, kill you, you know? Or Or you're like, when you have the opportunity, here's a Restoration Angel. And sometimes you just angel them out. Like, you're just, like, aggroing them with angels, you know?
Geist definitely lends itself to a different kind of deck. Like, if the counter spells are good, then the blue-white flash deck is probably better. Like, is going to be better because, you know, it's better at playing the counter spells. It gets to play more of them. Whereas, if you need to be more aggressive, if you can't play that many counter spells, then I imagine Geist of St. Trapped is where you want to be. But again, I haven't played a game, so I don't really know.
Yeah, I was playing the blue-red-white Geist deck before I played this, and there's definitely times where you just play a turn three Geist and just, like, free win. You know what I mean? They just can't do anything about it, and they die.
Yeah.
This deck, you really have to fight for the wins, and that's fine. You know, if you practice with it, you can get there. I feel better about this deck, though, than I do having a Geist, because I just feel like you have much more options. And then that card's Sphinx's Revelation is just stupid good.
Yeah, that card is absurd.
Yeah.
In a lot of, yeah.
Yeah, just so many times I just, like, basically grind them with my hand until all I have is Sphinx's Revelation left, and, like, you know, I Sphinx's Revelation for, like, six at the end of their turn and just refuel. It's so stupid.
Yep, I agree.
So, yeah, so that's what I've been doing. I've been playing that. I've been playing that for the FNM Hero. And I think FNM Hero's over, dude. I think I won. I think it's done. So
I think I won.
Yeah, I mean, I have this deck. I have this deck, and then I have four Geist of St. Traff, which I could turn into 130 credit or 100 and something credit. I have 30 in credit because I just won the last FNM that I went to. And then, like, I have a bunch of red-blue lands that I don't use because I'm doing blue-white now. So I can just turn those into credit. And the goal was 200 credit and, like, you know, one of the top tier one decks in Standard. And so I'm there, dude.
Wow.
I think you are there. Yeah, you do have one of the top decks.
Yeah, I have this one. It has Snapcaster Mage and stuff. I think I just got so tunnel visioned in, like, trying to win more, like, FNMs and stuff that I just kind of forgot that, like, I'm already pretty much there. Like, I just
Did you start with again, John? Just in a, was it an event deck?
It was $100 budget, right. And so I took that $100 and I bought an event deck, which was like $20, and then I used $100 for entry fees, sleeves, extra cards, and all that stuff. So basically, I've been playing for, I don't know, over six months on $100, and I haven't added any new money, only what I win from FNMs, and I haven't traded, I haven't made any trades in the positive for me. All my trades have been even or less.
You got a door prize, though, didn't you?
Door prizes, yep.
And draft droppings. And lots draft of draft droppings. Droppings.
Lots of draft droppings. So, yeah.
Wow.
That's cool. That's cool. I was kind of hoping that you fail, but it's cool.
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm just
FNM villain soon?
I guess I have to wrap it up still. I don't know, because I'm going to give away all the cards to the kids who don't, like, have a lot of cards. So, like, basically all the cards in the FNM Hero Collection are going to be just dispersed to people who are just starting out and stuff. So that still has to happen. You know, I kind of have to wrap up the series. Maybe there's going to be, like, one last hurrah where I go battle somewhere or something. And then, yeah, I think I'm gonna wrap it up. I think it's kind of done, you know? I think we've been done for a while. I mean, we've been playing Magic for over 6 months at $100. So the point is proven, you know? The point is proven.
John, I wanted to ask you quickly about the deck, because I'm like Josh, I haven't played Standard at all, and I plan to play potentially at a pretty big TCG player event in Montreal this Saturday. Is this deck fairly prevalent in the metagame, the blue-white flash?
It's becoming that way because, like, there's a lot of articles on Star City that are now reflecting the deck. So, like, Prozac wrote an article about it, and then Todd wrote an article about it, and then Jerry wrote an article calling it the best deck, and then Sam Black wrote an article calling it the best deck. So, like, I feel like this is going to be, you're going to see, you'll play this, I'm not going to say quite a bit, but it's definitely going to be out there. It's going to be prevalent.
Okay. I don't know if you may have mentioned this on the show maybe last time or this time, but has anybody suggested or experimented with Cavern of Souls? Because like for the mirror, like maybe one or two copies of it.
Yeah, it's been suggested.
Okay,
it's been suggested. It's okay. It's kind of shitty though.
Okay.
I've been playing one copy of Cavern in the deck. Jerry's a madman. He's been playing three.
Wow.
Just three caverns, like just raw dog, and I'm like, what the hell? Like that one cavern screws my mana so many times. That, like, you start off with a hand with, like, Cavern and, like, Morlin Haunt and, like, Azorius Charm. And you're like, nope, can't do it, you know? So the Cavern is tough on the mana. I run one and one on the board. And I don't really think it's that good. Like, the times that I've been playing it, it doesn't seem like you really need... I mean, sure, I've had uncounterable Restoration Angels before, but the mirror match seems like it's going to be a grind, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, and it seems like cards like Dispel are more format mirror breaking than like a Cavern of Souls is.
Yeah, Dispel is big game. Dispel's insane. So
it seems like it matters a lot what you're caverning out. Like if you cavern out a Talrand, it seems like that's pretty unbeatable in the mirror.
Yeah, that's where I was gonna go next. The new thing that I'm testing is Talrand. So I'm testing against especially two Thrag Test decks because Thrag Test decks have been putting caverns in now. So, like, you have to race the Thrag Test. Like, you can't, like, just say, oh, Thrag Test is not going to resolve anymore. So, like, having Talrands on the board is good. So then if you have Talrands on the board, then having the caverns is really good in the mirror. So, but it's still hard on the mana.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I'm running two Talrands on the board. I agree, though. Josh is right on it, man. Look, he just had to play Magic. He didn't even know. He's just like, yep, Talrand's insane. And I agree. It's pretty good.
Hmm.
So Lingering Souls is also pretty good against this deck. So that's something you have to watch out for. You know, the early iterations of the deck try to play like Detention Sphere to fight it and stuff like that. But I think the best way to do it is you just got to slog through the tokens, man. You can't be running like Detention Sphere and stupid stuff like that. You just gotta kind of just battle through. Usually, you board out your pikes in like in those matchups.
Yeah, I'm just like reading through these quickly, skimming through the articles you're talking about, and he does call it the best deck.
Yeah. So what I would recommend, really, I'll give you the stream for Adam Prozac. Just watch him play the deck. He's basically got hours of like there's like 15 hours of him playing the deck on there.
Can I buy it on DVD?
So I would recommend watching that because he knows way better than I do. But I've been playing the deck a lot and I like it. It's awesome.
Because I'm talking to Alex now and that's one of the decks he's considering to play at Charleston, and so I guess a lot of people are going to be on this deck.
Yeah. I think the mirror, the best thing in the mirror is not to have like some super secret tech, is probably just to play a lot of the mirror because you really got to learn the tempo of it. Like,
was how similar is it to the old Delver games though?
It's like, pretty similar.
Doesn't it play almost the same way?
It's pretty similar, yeah. The difference is, I guess, Sphinx's Revelation is insane, right? Because it's like at any time, if that drops, like you're in big trouble because they just refuel and they take away some of your damage. So,
yeah,
and it's really grindy. So,
that makes sense.
Yeah. Sometimes Augur goes all the way, man. He just beats. He just beats and beats.
Sick.
But but you know what is really good against this deck? Jace is pretty good against this deck too, if they resolve it, because as long as they don't have a pike, like it kind of turns off your augers and other stuff that you swing with. So
yeah, and then they can just take your pike.
Yeah, but trying to resolve a Jace in this matchup is really
How can I do that? You got infinite counter spells.
Yeah, so that's why it usually doesn't work out. Oh man,
nice. So is it really that worthwhile to play it as that version instead of like the blue, white, red one with Geist and Thundermaw Hellkite?
I think it is. I have the red lands and the Thundermaws for, not the Thundermaws anymore because I traded them for Caverns, but I could have been playing the red version. The only thing I would have ever wanted out of red right now, because right now it used to run red for Pillar because Zombies was a big deal.
Yeah, but now it's Searing Spear.
And now Searing Spear is great against Augur. which it's means it's a still a mediocre card, like Searing Spear is okay. But I would probably want it for Izzet Stratocaster, because it like flashes in, it shoots Lingering Souls token down, it shoots Snapcaster Mage Beats down, it holds a pike, you know, so I would want it for the Izzet Stratocaster and probably some Izzet Charms so that I could kill Deathrite Shamans, because Deathrite Shamans is a beating to this deck.
Yeah, because you're just like casting spells and they're just chewing you. Yeah.
Yeah, early Deathrite Shamans are, and they really mess up your pike, and they mess up your Snapcaster Mage, and so it's really a pain in the ass, that card. So like having Izzet Charms would be like, dome the Deathrite Shaman, suck it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff that they were testing. Adam was testing freaking Mist Hologriffin.
Yeah.
He was testing that for the Jund matchup, and I actually, the stream talked him into putting it in against a Junk matchup, and the guy rested in peace. He rested in peace, and Adam thought scoured into it, and the guy just couldn't beat the freaking Mist Hologriffin.
Wow.
Because he just kept recasting it. And every time it died, because he had rest in peace, it would get exiled. So it was just unkillable.
Oh, God.
And the guy was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm getting beat by this Mist Hologriffin. So, like, there's been talk about basically Jerry is bringing in rest in peace against Reanimator in this deck. So Jerry just basically brings in rest in peace and takes out his snaps and his pikes and stuff. So there's been talk about doing that and then also bringing Mist Hologriffin. So having like some kind of weird sideboard interaction. But I don't like that. I think it's crazy. But Jerry could play three Cavern of Souls and also Duke his graveyard and still win with it.
Yeah, yeah. So. Like
he doesn't give a shit, you know?
Good God. So Josh, what's your favorite type of deck to play? Are you typically like a control player, an aggro player? What's the most ideal deck?
Either control or aggro, control.
Yeah,
I guess more on the control spectrum than like the aggro side. Like Delver was more aggressive than I generally like.
Oh, okay.
This deck is right up your alley.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, this deck is right up your. This deck only has 12 creatures in it, and it's like full of counter spells and stuff. So you probably be into that.
Should ship him the list, John.
I mean, it's everywhere. It's not my list.
Yeah, I have seen it.
Yeah. So, that's good. So that's Charleston this weekend. That's crazy. And then we got, what, like, Toronto's right after Charleston. That's the next one, right?
Yep, next weekend. Yep.
So you've got a couple-week reprieve before you have to come here into the big cold easy.
Yeah, but I have a couple-week reprieve before I have to talk to you again. That's pretty nice.
Oh,
now we're rubbing off on John.
Guess you guys are rubbing off on the...
There it is, yeah. Yes, not in the good way. Fuck! Nice. Yeah, I imagine that we're going to have ourselves some pretty serious parties down there. We're looking forward to doing something good for everybody. And... It's going to be pretty awesome. I remember I got the idea because, like, LSV was when there was the, I guess, it was the San Jose Pro Tour. I guess it was that one. And he basically, like, proclaimed himself or was proclaimed the ambassador of the event, right? Because it was, like, in his hometown and, you know, so on and so forth. So, well, fuck, this is my house. Like, yeah,
step it up.
Step it up. Not to be outdone by LSV. I won't take him on a table, but I might be able to promote a little more. So, yeah, it's going to be good times. Going to be good times. Well, we're into, like, about an hour and a half. We want to go to do some shout-outs. Jay, do you want to read some comments from last week? Are there any good ones?
I have a scumbag story from...
Actually, fuck, Jay, how was your anti-league this week?
Oh, it was pretty sweet. I got my buddy Kevin to buy a new deck, and then I took 12 cards off him.
Is this the same guy you did this to last week?
No. different dude. Different.
So you're basically like losing all your friends over this.
Yeah, but fuck them if they're gonna like be all Jobinski about that. Like that's magic, man. Come on. And so that was pretty good. Like that's the great thing about Anti-League is that like my deck is getting worse by winning all of these cards. It's not getting better. It's getting saturated. And all the cards, like somehow all the cards, every single one of the cards that I took off my buddies, they were all like just mediocre and shit and hard to cast. Like none of them were crazy like bombs or anything. And every time I was anteing up cards, it was like, oh, is that a fucking a Crusader? The good Mirren Crusader? Oh yeah, is that a Mr. Commister? A Mercurial Commister? Yeah, I guess I'll just ante that up. He's anteing up like a 1/6 casting, like a 1/6 5 mana cat, and like a like a 2/2 that gets vigilance if you control a gate. Yeah, I don't have a fucking gate.
So why don't you ante up crappy cards then?
You can. You don't get to choose your ante, man.
Oh, you don't?
No, you fucking idiot. They won't. Holy fuck, yeah, like, oh, you want to play ante?
Are you going to be at GP Toronto? Are you going to be there?
No, Jay's not coming.
You're not coming?
What?
Okay. Because I would just go down there just to whoop your dumb ass, man. That's what I would do.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh, I'm going to choose to ante this card, and then everyone would just fucking laugh at you. Because you're a terror. Yeah, you don't get to choose your ante card. That defeats the purpose of ante.
Thanks for the info, dude. Thanks for the info.
But I'm writing an article about it that maybe I'll shop around to KYT, and maybe you could read about it there and learn about it.
Sounds good. Just don't send it to me and KYT and say, do one of you guys want this? That's the worst ever. I'm not saying anybody has done that multiple times. I'm just saying, if anyone were to do that, don't.
I don't know if you're talking about me or not. I don't think you are.
No, we're not.
No, it's a coincidence, though.
That is kind of a coincidence, because you did ask us both. Yeah, this has happened multiple times where someone will ship us both an article for, like a great idea. And they're like, do you want this? And I'm like, yeah. And KYT's like, yep. And I'm just like, oh, bastard. Oh man, it's just the worst because and KYT have to compete at this point.
But they never finish. Like we never get the freaking article.
I always assume that you just get them. That's what I assume.
No, you assumed wrong. I think David Mantle just hates us after the last episode. His only comment was 3 dots. So.
Oh man, you're gonna end up in the rape forest of Charleston.
I will no longer laugh or make that joke.
I don't think it's funny.
I don't think it's funny.
Me neither.
You know what? Having been accused of having a rape dungeon on my stream, I'm still going to laugh. Oh, goodness.
Jay, what if he sneaks up on you, like, during the night?
No, I'll fucking murder him, but that joke's not funny.
That's not funny.
So yeah, Anti-League is going good. I want like more people to play it, is what I want.
Well, apparently they're going to run it down at Sketchbook Comics in St. Catharines. Joel Nidri is going to like seriously run it, and he's got a pretty good following for it. So yeah. Shout out to those guys for picking up Anti-League.
Just be prepared that everybody just draws dicks. That's just what happens.
Yep.
It's not a bad thing. It's just a dick on a magic card. Who cares? It's just a fucking dick. Chill out about it. But everybody does it. Everybody does it. Even if you don't encourage them. Even if you don't say anything, you're just like, oh, man, it'd be cool if you drew, like, a funny thing. Like, oh, it's funny. Uh-huh. And then you show them, like, some Anti-League cards that don't have dicks on them. Like, look, see, this person drew, like, a party hat. And this other guy drew some glasses and a funny some of that shit. And they're just like, oh, I'm going to draw a dick. Ha-ha. You're like, yeah, you are. I knew it.
Yeah.
What happens with Anti-League?
Oh, man. I don't think that would be very appropriate, Jay.
It's not very appropriate, no.
Sweet. Did you say you had a scumbag story? Or was this just stealing the 12 cards?
Yeah. No, no scumbag story. No scumbag story.
All right. Do we want to read any comments, or do we want to move on to shoutouts?
The comments were not great last episode.
Were they honestly not? Okay, you read some, because it's funny when you read them.
Why is it funny when I read them? It's not funny at all.
I don't have to tell you.
I'm going there. I'm going there, just so you know. I'm not going to read this. Man, freaking Shaolin Monk, he makes these comments that are like a freaking book. Holy smokes, man. Okay, here we are. Daydream Believers.
Yeah, by the way, that's got to change. Kyle, you do better at naming our episodes, please. Get better.
Oh, no.
So, Fabulous says, what Shaolin Monk said, but funnier, eat the chow. Oh, man. Yeah, oh, man, you got to read. No, never mind. That one's so gross. Sup Stevie's is pretty nasty. Yeah, no, I can't read any of these.
It's just like Joshua Lemish. Guys, I only got love for you guys, even if KYT thinks I'm a piece of shit.
And doesn't someone like comment back, you piece of shit? That was you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot of great comments here. The listeners are falling behind in their task. And Shaolin Monk and Sup Stevie, they came to bat, which is fine. Joshua Lemish did his job.
Manny
Studios was there. Norbert was there. But the rest of you guys failed.
They're probably just salty from the last two episodes.
More than likely.
They were mad because we picked on them. Come on, guys. Come back. We're just joking.
So that was it? Those were the whole comments? Just garbage?
There were some good ones. I'm not going to read the one about my dad boning my mom because I feel like it's inappropriate. Oh man.
I see.
Yeah. It's pretty hilarious, but it's also very inappropriate. So yeah.
I didn't realize we were
I don't want to subject Josh to that, you know. He seems like a stand-up kind of guy who doesn't want to hear about that stuff, you know.
Is Josh still here?
Don't worry, I already muted you.
Nice.
Then how'd you know I was talking, bro? Gotcha.
Nice. All right. So, yeah. I came in second at my GPT. That was not very happy.
Play better.
I clearly have to play better.
Yeah.
I need to find a way to combat drawing four consecutive lands against Affinity turns 3 through 7. I need to shuffle better, I think, yeah. I need to, like, obsessively shuffle better. I mean, I'm already doing, you know, the double nickel's not good enough. No, I'm totally kidding. I don't know. I think I played fine for the most part. Like I said, I only made really one mistake. I think I made one bad choice in terms of a discard to a Blightning, which ended up costing me sort of a round in the Swiss. But aside from that, I felt like I played well. I kind of forced my opponents to play along lines that they needed to be on in order to, you know, to win. And if they didn't have it, then they were done. So it was pretty good. I felt like I had pretty good sideboard strategies for the decks that were there. And I just got crushed by Affinity, as it's apt to do sometimes. Robots.
Man, if you had Lingering Souls, bro, it would have been way better.
You know what? Maybe I should try those. To try those
I think I just came up with some tech.
Oh my god.
Some sick tech.
Yeah, so I'm gonna hopefully this weekend I'll be better. I actually have two GPTs this weekend. I have one on Saturday and one on Sunday. So I'm gonna just like hammer it up. I need those buys. Josh, see, I'm on this mission. My pride is at stake. I have to day two this GP. And we all know that three buys is a really good way to start to day two a GP.
Yes, it's pretty important.
So if I don't get those buys, I'm in a lot of trouble. So I have to, like, grind my face off to try to find these damn things. So terrible.
Yep.
I don't play enough Magic, right? Like, tragically, dad, you know, dad of two, wife, job, the whole nine.
You're like wife of two, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like two TSG.
Like, I have two wives.
Husband of two.
Josh Utter Layton, you're on that team.
Oh no.
You could tell us about what happened with TSG.
I totally wanted to avoid that one.
So speaking of scumbag stories.
Oh man.
Get him.
Mm.
Junkyard Dog.
I mean, I don't really feel comfortable saying anything that's not already public knowledge, you know?
Eight.
Correct. So there's a lot that already is public knowledge.
We had him on our show a few episodes ago.
Okay.
And so he gave us what he felt was the side that was missing in terms of his interactions with the authorities and his cooperation with their investigation. But didn't say basically anything bad or anything about anyone.
Or anything.
It was everybody in this whole situation is being very political.
So you do listen to the show.
Oh, man. A lot of
very sneaky. Very sneaky, these raptors. They're intelligent. Clever girl. Clever girl. I'm just joking. I'm just fucking with you. I was hoping that you would just rip into him, but then when you didn't, it's not a big deal. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
Moving on.
You're making my life better by just not being a scumbag and perpetuating scumbag stories. I appreciate that. That's fine.
Nice. All right. So,
do you have any shout outs, Josh?
Let's do that, Josh. Why don't you take us through shout-outs?
I would like to give a shout-out to your Grand Prix Chicago champion, Jacob Wilson. He's a great kid, great Magic player, so really happy for him. You know, congrats to him.
America!
Was it you that played the Gifts guy?
Yeah.
So, you really should just give him a shout-out for not scooping him into the PT invite. I thought that was awesome. It made coverage, and I thought that was really hilarious. So good for you.
But I'm not sure why that is coverage worthy. Like, nobody's going to scoop like in a Grand Prix Top 8.
You know, no, I know, but I thought it was
going to happen.
I thought it was hilarious that they even put that put it in there. Like, weird. God, I mean, like, if it was one of those things where if you had seen it and you were there, like, you totally just laugh out loud. Like, it was really good.
So what happened? He asked you to scoop him in.
Yeah, I mean, he had no, like, expectation that I would or anything, but he figured he might as well ask, so.
Oh, man.
I mean, it definitely sucks top 8 in a GP and not being qualified for the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
I feel for him. I wish he was qualified, but.
Did you, like, snicker a little bit? Were you like,
or were you like, no? I just said no.
Do you know who you're talking to? This is Josh Hunter Layden. He doesn't snicker.
I'm just trying to catch him, man. Just trying to catch him.
Yeah, he's resilient, though. He's on it.
He's
He knows his character really well.
Yeah.
He's like fucking Aragorn, but not from the shitty books.
Aragorn!
He's like Aragorn from the movies. Like Viggo Mortensen. That's what he's like. Has anyone ever called you that before?
No, that's a first.
That's probably a first.
Yeah.
Have you looked at this Gifts deck like any further?
Yeah, I actually had played against him in Lincoln in the last round of Lincoln, and I was like, he just crushed me in that tournament. I was like, wow, that deck looks awesome, you know, and had just kind of forgotten about it, and I'd seen like the list. He'd been playing on the same list online, and every time it pops up in the daily, it's like, oh yeah, there's that again. That deck looks awesome. I never really played the deck. I don't know why, because it does look like it's very good.
And potentially right up your control-loving alley.
Yeah.
Your control-loving alley.
So, that's cool. Yeah, the winner is just 17, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow, that's just crazy.
Yeah, 17, Jacob Wilson. Good for him.
Good for that guy.
He's playing a lot of Magic.
Yes, he is.
That's crazy. Like, top 12, 13 of the last three GPs, two Pro Tour appearances in 2012, and Mox top 8. Like, that's pretty good. That's amazing. Carry on with your shout-out. Sorry. Shout-out to Jacob for winning. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
That's it?
That's it.
Suck at everyone else.
Suck at everyone else, I guess. All right. So I'll shout out to you, Josh, for coming on board, man, and fucking sticking through this whole thing with us. That's so sick of you. I'm glad. Hopefully you've at least like had a little bit of fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. So we will be looking forward to seeing you in Toronto. I think that it'll be nice to be able to shake hands, and you can laugh at how terrible we all are later, so that'll be good. And we can laugh about it over a beer at the Mana Deprive party. Yeah. So sick. Do you drink, Josh, at all?
I do.
Good. That's a good. wonderful thing.
Good, he says.
Good. Drinking is good. Anyways, for those of you that are above age and legal to do so, I don't encourage underage drinking at all, officially. Shout out to everybody that I played against that were really good sports. At my GPT last week, DMAC put on a pretty good tournament, and also Mike W. was awesome. It was good to meet him. I'll see him in Hamilton this weekend. Shout out to all of my opponents that are going to be gracious enough to just hand me the buys on the weekend. That'll be awesome. Thank you. And more shout outs after I have your names. And
so what he's saying is, if you scoop him in...
I'm not saying anything, but you can say whatever you want.
He's going to give you a shout-out on the A-team.
You can say whatever you want. I'm not saying
blowies.
Shit.
And free blowies.
So, yeah, so it's going to be good. And I'm really looking forward to the list. So, like, we've been joking about it in the chat, but, like, Josh, seriously, if you have a sideboard guide for this deck, I would fucking die. Like, I would die.
I will absolutely send you that.
Oh God!
He's
dead. So
he's
amazing.
Dead.
I'm
dead.
I'm dying right now.
You killed Scott.
I'm dead. I can't play. I'm dead. Yeah, that'd be wild. Because like, as we're going through the cards, I'm just like, what the hell would you take out? Like, all these cards are amazing, but like, what would you take out against Jun? You've got
yeah. I knew
Google.
We were gonna need one once the interview started, like, turning into Scott's moments with Josh R. Layton and how to
sorry.
Play my deck for the GP.
Sorry, it's all I've been living and breathing. Even my wife, she's like, can you just win these buys so you can stop fucking going to these tournaments already? I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm trying so hard.
Shut up.
It's like, you know, she was really proud of me for doing so well last week, and then she's like, but you didn't win? I'm like, I didn't win.
She's like, damn it, Scott.
Exactly.
She wants you to win more than you want to win, just so that, you know, she'll actually see you again.
It's 100% truth. Like 100% truth. Yeah, because, like, the last, like, it's literally 5 weekends that I'm just, like, solid booked.
And by the way, when you day 2, Scott, when you day 2?
Yeah.
I don't want you to turn into, like, where you're like, oh, I got there, and then just fail out and, like, you know, just lose every next match. You gotta keep going, man. Once you day 2, you can't just give up.
You mean like I did in Cincinnati?
Yeah. Like once you got on the feature match, you're like,
God, I
imploded. You're like, yeah, all right, got there. I give up.
It was so terrible. Josh, it was so terrible, man. You probably can't relate at all, but, you know, hey. I got in the tournament. I was dead. We were playing standard, and I had the wickedest headache. End up just like, bearing down, getting through it, 4-0, going into the feature match. Joey Pasco is a really good buddy of mine, right, from, you know, the community. Uh-huh. He was doing commentary, so that was wild. And so they were able to put me on a feature match. I had both of my kids watching from my tablet live the feature match. They watched me crush my opponent 2-0. It was fucking awesome. I played really well. I played, you know, the best Magic I had played all day in that moment. And I got to do my family proud, and then I got into the booth, and I was able to talk to Joey for a few minutes and be live on coverage, and I handled myself well there as well. I mean, clearly, you know, speaking to the public about Magic with, you know, prominent figures is something we do every week, so whatevs. But it was just wild to do. And then after that, I sit down against, you know, one of the local ringers, Michael Belfato, and playing against Temperate Steel, which should have been a really good matchup for my white black tokens, and win game one, and then basically just falls apart because I'm riding the high. I was just like, I've accomplished everything I set out to do today, and I fucking just fell apart, went like X3 after that. I'm like, all right, it's time for dinner. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. It's just trying to overcome that, you know, setting the goal, but I guess that's why you set the goals as high as you can, right?
Yeah. You don't want to be, you want to be happy that you top 8-ed or whatever, but you don't want to settle for that. Like, you want, you got to have the desire for more.
Yeah. So I hear you, John. I'll try. I will definitely, you know what, if I can make the day 2, then at that point in time, it's you've got a whole... Yeah, exactly, right? Like, that's the first goal. Work towards that goal. Get that goal. You have time to build the second one before you have to execute.
I think you're ready to day two. I feel it.
If listen, I'm fully convinced that if I am able to get these buys, then I'll day two without an issue.
I think I'll day two without the buys.
That's fucking 80% of my matches. That's insane.
Yeah.
How do you beat a field of dirtily Jund decks? Like, that's or dirtily burn decks. Like, that doesn't happen.
You play magic cards, bro.
Oh my god. Anyways. Alright, fine. We'll talk about it. But yeah, those are my shoutouts, I guess. And if there's people that I missed, I'm sorry, but like all of you that are been on my stream and like new people that have been coming in this week, I fucking love you. I do it for you guys. I have so much fun doing it. And, you know, thanks for supporting me and come check it out. And Josh, anytime you want to like co-pilot on my stream with me, it'd be sick. So I do it Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Let me know.
Will do.
Awesome. Jay, yo. I understand that you found your story.
Yeah, I found my story.
Give it to us with your shout outs, sir.
Okay, okay. You want me to do shout outs and then the story later?
Roll it. You know what? It's your floor. You do what you want.
Okay, I'm just going to tell the scumbag story. Maybe if Josh has time, he can stick around. If not, thanks for coming on the show, Josh. All right, so this is here's a topic of discussion, and we want to do it anonymously because it may or may not have happened somewhere that we're all a part of, really deeply rooted in with money and, you know, dirty money. Okay, so there's a draft at a certain store on Friday that this certain person was playing an opponent. The person cast an enchantment, put it on top of a creature, let go, and then person A, the protagonist, said, response. I don't know why people still do that. Like, I play this, like, response! He said, response, and removed the creature with an auger spree. The person then tried to use rootbound defenses to make the target invincible, to which I replied, again, he replied with the wrong stuff here. Normally, you just say, okay, rebound defense resolves. And then you say, yeah, Augur Spree, you're dude, idiot. But this guy says, that's fine, but it won't work on your Augur Spree with the -4. The person then claimed that the creature was not the original target that they had cast the spell for, and that I had responded too quickly, and that they had meant to cast it on something else. I countered. I said, that's false. That was false. They had let go of the card, and I declared a response to which the person had already then responded to. A judge was called, and it was ruled in my favor. But the person went a bit on tilt, and some folks then joked that I was sharking this person. The person still beat me in the next round. The person and the opponent... The person still beat me. Sorry. The person still beat me. But in the next round, the person and the opponent that they were paired up with were sitting on the same side of the table. An argument ensued. The person and the opponent did not want to move. When the new opponent suggested dice rolling, my former opponent went apeshit. He started going off, saying, you fucking immature asshole. Why don't you just move? You're so fucking lame and retarded, etc., etc., etc. And it was quite shocking. The store manager was called. But instead of doing anything, you know, like kick the opponent out or make them at least roll the dice, to be perfectly fair, the guy made the opponent move because he was far calmer. So what do you think should have happened? Roll friggin' dice, lose or moose, or discipline the person for yelling and try to curb their attitude?
They should both stop being idiots and just, like, figure it out, man. We're adults here, bro.
We're adults here, bro. I think that definitely something should have been done about the chick who just... Well, chick, sorry.
Person. Oh, it was Nina!
About the person who said, quote, you fucking immature asshole, why don't you just move? You are so fucking lame and retarded. I think that person should have been reprimanded.
That diatribe right there, we already knew it was Nina once you said that.
Maybe. I'm not saying it's Nina, because I don't know if it's Nina. I'm pretty sure it's not Nina. So this is the thing. So that's what we all think? What do we all think? We all think what?
We think it was Nina.
Okay. This is going to be just like the fucking, that stupid Horizon Spellbomb thing, where now I'm going to wake up to a bunch of tweets, and Nina having blocked me, and talking shit about our show, and all this crazy, and everyone's going to say, oh, Dre said it was Nina. Ben says Nina. All right. So just to be sure, and I just want to see, like, how would you react if this is what happened to you, Owen? And this is the person emailed us to find this out. It's science.
Okay. So, explain it one more time with, like, names or something, because person one and person two and the person, I don't know what the hell is happening.
Okay. All right. We wanted, all right, really? Okay. Let's say that this is Bob. Bob is the person who's telling the story.
Okay.
So the draft of the store, I was playing my opponent. The opponent will call that person Jesse. Because that's a unisex name. That can be a boy or a girl.
Dude.
Okay. So at the draft I was playing, Jesse, the cast an enchantment and put it on top of a creature. Let go.
Jesse's the idiot. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so then they let go, fast forward, I respond, they respond, I respond, and tell them, like, it doesn't matter. Then they're like, it doesn't matter. And they're like, oh, I meant to put it on something else. I meant to swerve my enchantment that I let go of after putting it on a creature. I meant to swerve it. And then you're like,
first of all, that's bullshit. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right there. We know that. Okay.
Everybody knows that. Right?
Now there's an altercation between Jesse and somebody else with a chair.
And Martimus.
Martimus.
And they're like, okay. Oh, Jesse, it looks like, oh, pairings are up for round three. Like, oh, it looks like Jesse plays Martimus. They're both sitting on the same side of the table. Neither of them will move. Now Bob didn't say in his email if either of them had called table. Now, if you're familiar with the rules of table, as soon as the pairings come out, you say table, and then move.
Let me just clear something up.
Yeah.
Is there no table numbers where there's designated to play?
No, it appears that there's not. A lot of places don't have that because they don't have like 100-person FNMs. They have like 20 to 40-person FNMs, right?
Okay. So now they're both sitting on the same side of the table.
Yeah.
Jerking each other off.
Or even maybe they have table numbers. They're both playing at table 40, but they're both sitting at the same side of the table. Table 40 is at the end of the table, so there's enough room for them both still sitting there. You know. I'm just saying there's possibilities,
okay.
Right?
Okay, and none of them want to move. Then no. One of them calls the other one immature, blah, blah, blah.
Lame asshole who's retarded.
Jesse calls Martimus.
Martimus, yeah.
Okay.
Then the store manager didn't do fuck all. Store manager didn't do shit. He wants to know what you would do in that situation.
If I was a store manager, okay, I would say, we're going to roll for this, and if you don't like that, you're going to leave.
And what about the language? And the aggressive behavior. That's
I would not allow the language in the store because I would want the store to be friendly for kids.
Right. Okay. What about you, Dad?
Yeah, so unfortunately I have to try to back Medina here. Like, you need to make sure that you're promoting some sort of environment that's going to be, you know, acceptable for all players and that's not going to make people uncomfortable. So if somebody is actively promoting, you know, discomfort in the environment, whether they are bullying or whether they are just yelling louder to try to make themselves be heard, then they're the ones that are causing the problem.
Yeah. Now, Josh, you're still here, right?
I am still here.
Now, what about you? As a pro Magic player, you must know the rules pretty well. What's your interpretation of it?
So when I said I'm still here, I meant maybe after.
He's motoing.
All right, guys, I'm just going to stop talking for a minute here.
Oh, man.
All right, that's fine. Now, the second part of this email that I already kind of blew is, now what if I told you that the person who I, quotation marks, sharked was a girl? Does this change the situation? Isn't it a double standard that some feel that she got off somewhat easy during her rage session? Also, she made the argument she wanted to sit next to her boyfriend. But one of the reasons the other guy didn't want her sitting there was because there have been hints by the BF on her play during matches that have sometimes affected play. Like, you should do this, you should do that, you should not do this, you should do that, you should wait to see what he is. What do you think? I think that's fucking cheating. I think fuck those people, kick them right out of your fucking store, don't come back, and fuck you.
Well, it's not Nina because she doesn't get tips. Nobody.
Not from nobody.
From no one.
That's right. That's true. That's totally true. Yeah.
Totally. All right. So yeah, I think.
Does it matter? Does it matter if it's a girl? Do you think maybe she didn't get reprimanded because she was a girl?
I think she
fucking did. I'm not even being misogynistic. I think that happened. I've seen it happen.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Probably.
So that's my scumbag story.
Was she attractive?
No, she probably was. She doesn't sound like she was. Okay. I would not be attracted to a lady
then what is the story
who acts in this fashion.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're saying she got special treatment because she's a girl.
Yeah. She probably did.
Yeah.
Nah, you don't think so?
Nah.
You don't think, like, if I did that? Like, if I just started raging at someone?
Yeah, you'd be escorted out.
Yeah, yeah. Because
you're kind of an asshole, so people are just looking for a reason.
Yeah, so, yeah, no. That's a good point, too.
Interesting.
Like, if I ever do anything for people to just nail me on, oh, they're going to nail me, man. They don't.
But if you're girl, that's not sexist, they're misogynist.
If you're Josh Utter Layton, people are not going to do that because he's nice to people.
I don't think that's true. I think that if Josh Utter Layton started just rage hauling, I think maybe somebody would be like, yo, man, chill the fuck out. Just chill out.
I don't think so.
Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, that's my scumbag story. It was a she scumbag story. You know, She-Hulk raged. She raged. She-Hulk, she raged. Yeah. There's enough sheet in there. Make sure I'm equally representing everyone.
Sweet.
We're going to read some comments.
Are you done with your shout-outs?
Oh, no, shout-outs. Shout-outs to Maddie Studios. Because I went on their show, and it was terrible. No, I'm just kidding. It was great. Go listen to it. Shout-out to Joshua Lemish. Shout out to Joshua Lemish. Shout out. Oh, fuck, I had another shout out, but now you screwed it up, Jonathan Medina.
Sorry about that.
Bastard. Oh, shout out to Robot Large. Oh, shit, I remember. Shout out to the proxy guy on Twitter, the proxy guy. He, as a wedding gift to me, he made me some sweet, sweet proxy foils that look amazing for my cube. Like, they look better than real cards. They look super premium, ultra dope. Like, better than judge foils. Like, ultra head judge foil is what they're
the judge foiliest.
The foiliest of the judge foils.
Yeah. Sweet. Shout out to that guy.
Shout out to that guy, for sure. I'd say his real name, but then I don't know if, like, maybe, like, I guess, like, the IRS or, like, the FBI involves. I don't want that shit happening, so.
You're so secretive tonight, man.
Pretty secretive, yeah. Bob, Jesse. Martimus?
The girl?
The girl? Shout out to all of them. Except for the girl. She's a scumbag. A she-bag.
A she-bag.
A she-bag. A sea-hag. Go ahead, Scott, with your shout-outs. Did you already do them?
I did them. It's KYT.
KYT, go ahead.
I have no shout-outs.
Shout-outs.
Okay, so I gotta give a shout-out. Since KYT has no shout-outs, I gotta give a shout-out to David Applegate. This is the guy who I was telling you is the FNM Zero, the guy who's trying to do FNM Hero, right? No, that's what he calls himself, okay? So this guy was listening to our show.
Okay.
And that's, you know, he was not happy that I was making him sound like a donk.
The chow? Eating the chow?
Yeah, he was like, Medina, don't be making me sound like a donk. And I'm like, you are a donk, man. Let's throw down. So
let's slow down.
So we went out in the parking lot and I stabbed him with a broken glass. And no, I'm just joking. So yeah, we played. He played his FNM Zero deck, which is a green black deck, versus my awesome blue white deck, and he crushed me. Yeah. So props to that guy for standing up for himself and whooping my ass. He's still not as awesome as me, but you know. I will give him his props for kicking my ass. And that's all I have. Shout out to David Applegate, FNM Zero, for throwing down.
Donk. You still sound, he made you sound more like a donk. In case
he is still kind of a donk. Now I'm gonna throw down with him next week. Oh man, the worst.
Shout out to Sup Stevie. That guy is so hilarious.
Are you reading his comment?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's the worst.
He also just like does stuff like this on Twitter all the time where he just says things and then I'm like, what? And then he's like, I'm pretty blind. I'm a pretty blind guy. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Sweet. So I guess with that, we can call it a night.
Right.
That's so awesome.
Bye, everyone.
Have a good night. And yeah. So is somebody saying swag? Swag.
Swag.
Swag. All right. With that, we will see you all next week. Take it easy.
All right.
All right.
Awesome.
Kyle, clean this up a lot. I feel like it's shit, so.
Oh, man.
Make sure you clean it up some.